Good morning. Welcome to the table. We are so grateful to be together this morning. We, Pastor Matt is away for two Sundays, although we're all going to send an extra prayer for Matt and Sarah and Eleanor because their plane was in that debacle. And so, so they didn't get to leave on vacation yesterday. So, but we live in California. And so today they're at Dillon Beach all day having some fun, and hopefully their plane will leave Monday at noon. So we are praying for safety for everyone who was affected. So many, 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 many travelers are stranded. So our hearts open to them, and especially to our families that we know that happened to. We are grateful to be here and to begin this morning with, are you starting us off, Nat? Oh, okay. So this song is, we've done it many times. And if you let it, the beginning especially, if you let it just wash over you and hear these words, Natalie's going to sing them to us, with us, and it's really can be invigorating, if you ask me, because it calls up that we want our lives to make a difference. We want to hold meaning as we have our days here on earth. So I invite us to stand in body or spirit as we are able.
We're the sunshine with the rain. We're the joy. of you to sing this lovely little vocal part with us. Are you willing? Let's do this. So I'm going to sing it for you, and then we'll learn it together.
Your great mistake is to act the drama as if you were alone. As if life were a progressive and cunning crime with no witness to the tiny hidden transgressions. To feel abandoned is to deny the intimacy of your surroundings. Surely, even you, at times, have felt the grand array, the swelling presence and the chorus, crowding out your solo voice. You must note the way the soap dish enables you, or the window latch grants you freedom. Alertness is the hidden discipline of familiarity. The stairs are your mentor of things to come. The doors have always been there to frighten you and invite you, and the tiny speaker in the phone is your dream ladder to divinity. Put down the weight of your aloneness and ease into the conversation. The kettle is singing even as it pours you a drink. The cooking pots have left their arrogant aloofness and seen the good in you at last. All the birds and creatures of the world are unutterably themselves. Everything is waiting for you.
Lord, I don't want to rush on ahead in my own strength when you're right here. Lord, I don't want to rush on ahead in my own strength when you're right. Just to rest in your nearness, I'm starting to notice you are speaking. Lord, I wanna love.
Wow. Let's breathe in and breathe out. Welcome. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm the Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. While I was listening to the poem, I was awed by the divine dance that we have every Sunday here. From the morning when we get to open the door, as I opened the door today, the breeze just came in. It's so beautiful. And then you hear our musician coming in, our coffee person would come in and start making coffee. And the hospitality team starts coming in, putting everything together. And then people, each and every one of you starts coming in. The regulars, the newcomers, the smile, the joy, the curiosity, the kids running around. And then everybody settling in. And then we get to hear the message and get to listen to the song. And the song, the previous one, it was like a divine dance itself. I was looking at this beautiful plant. Beautiful, the colors, it's just yellow to the dark green to the light green, just perfect combination of harmony, of existence. So I'm awed. I'm awed by each and everything that we experience here and outside too. We welcome those who are online. Our host, Stephen Stye, is with you. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code, those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, please text the word NEW to 916-452-5016. Texting NEW to this number will help you get connected with me and our co-pastors, and also help you to learn more about our ministries. If you're interested in learning more about the Table Farm, which is a small farm we operate in Hollywood Park, text the word farm to the same number. This will help you to learn more about our farm and the ways we grow food alongside neighbors to give away through the South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership Food Closet. I invite you to remain seated as we continue to move in worship with I Rest My Soul, composed by Omri, in collaboration with our musician team. I'm sorry, Omri.
I'm here. I abandon all I thought I was. I'm here. Everything I thought I'd be by now. I'm here. And I
silence. Wow, what amazing lyrics, what a beautiful song. I think all of us are feeling our souls being rested and a little restoration for our souls. Thank you so much. What an amazing music team. Thank you, Solabel. My name is Bob Martinez, and at this time, we want to invite our children to move with their volunteers outside for summer children's activities as our musicians provide a little walking music. This morning comes from the sixth chapter of Mark, and I'll be sharing from the First Nations version, which is an indigenous translation of the New Testament, and we invite you to follow along. The message bearers returned from their journeys and with full hearts told Creator Sets Free, Jesus, about all that they had done and taught. There were so many people coming and going all around them that they did not even have time to eat. So Creator Sets Free said to them, "Come with me, and we will find a quiet place in the wilderness to rest for a while." Then they left in a canoe to go to an out-of-the-way place, to be alone and to rest. But the people saw where they were going and ran ahead of them. They came from all the surrounding villages and were waiting for them when they arrived. As Creator Sets Free climbed out of the canoe, he saw the great crowd of people, and his heart went out to them again. He saw that they were like sheep with no shepherd to watch over them. He stayed there with them and began to teach and to tell them stories about Creator's good road. Then they came ashore at the village of Chief Garden, Gennesaret, and tied their canoe to a rock. As soon as they got out of their canoe, the people recognized Creator Sets Free. So they ran to all the nearby villages, gathered up the sick on their sleeping bundles, and brought them to Creator Sets Free. Wherever he would go, into villages, into camps or in the countryside, they would take the sick, lay them in front of the trading posts, and beg him to let them touch the very fringes of his clothes. And all who touched him were healed.
There are some professions that, if possible, I believe are best left unsaid. So pastor is one of them. And you may have heard Pastor Matt talk about this because it happens to him too. I'll be having a great time hanging out, meeting new people. The conversation eventually turns to, so what do you do? And it's a moment of decision. Do I evade? Oh, what do you do? Right? Or I can answer one of my favorites. I co-direct a small nonprofit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it works. Or I can just say I am a pastor. And for some, especially those pastors who don't identify or present as obviously male, this brings up a rough or surprised response. Some immediately feel guilty about their lack of church attendance. Other times people are just get awkward. Suddenly they get this look on their face, and I know that they are mentally calculating all of the curse words that they have just said in the last 5 minutes, right? And by the way, just so you know, if you're with me in these kinds of things, this is why I practice cursing first, because it really actually literally helps people. Yeah, it does. The truth is, I don't really care about their church attendance when I'm at the Nugget picking out vegetables, or their swearing either. And isn't that I don't want to listen attentively or talk about God or even pray with people. It's just that sometimes I want to have a bit of a rest while I'm at the gym or in a knitting circle or in line at Temple Coffee for some of my beloved iced tea. I often need to get away from those who see me only in my ministry role. And if I'm brutally honest, I sometimes feel that way about my parenting role as well. Can I get an amen on that? Right. Mm-hmm. We love our children. It's just like I go out on the patio to get a moment and they all follow. Right? Right. Mm-hmm. So, like those disciples, I too welcome Jesus' invitation when he says, come with me and we will find a quiet place in the wilderness to rest for a while. Do you notice how insistent Jesus is about his invitation? First he says, come away. Then he clarifies that away means to a quiet place. And in case there is any doubt, he specifies that this quiet place is in the wilderness all by themselves, so that no one misses the point. Then they left in a canoe to go to an out-of-the-way place to be alone and rest. Away, quiet place, alone, sounds so lovely to many of our ears. Except that it turns out the crowds beat them to the spot. They are there waiting for them because the people now recognize Jesus and his disciples, and they hurry ahead to meet him in the no longer out of the way place. The gospel accounts are really chock full of miracles, some of which are in this sixth chapter of Mark. Feeding the multitudes, walking on water, healing the sick, to be specific. And right here, when Jesus' plans for getting away and being alone are ruined by his needy crowd, is a miracle that is often, I think, overlooked. Jesus has compassion for them. Compassion. In the midst of his own exhaustion, Jesus recognizes the weariness of those around him. In his own need for renewal, he recognizes their need for healing. And in his own longing for time away with God, he recognizes their longing to connect more deeply with God as well. And instead of exasperation, He expresses compassion. There's nothing in the text that suggests that he experiences frustration with the crowds and their insistence. He feels compassion. A deep sympathy is running through him, and that seems like some miracle. It takes a certain spiritual groundedness to recognize when you need to get away to a wilderness place and be alone for a while. It takes an even deeper spiritual groundedness to respond with compassion towards those who intrude on your plans for solitude. Jesus does both at the same time. I want us to spend just a moment with this word compassion. It's related in origin, form, and meaning to the English noun patient, which means one who suffers. Yeah. And when you add the com, which is with, you see one who suffers with, literally suffering with. The word in German is even more direct. The word is Mitleid. I think I'm saying that right. Mitleid. Mitleid. Thank you. Mitleid, which just means suffer with. Dr. Matthew Skinner says it like this: Jesus' response involves more than just a warm and sensitive heart. These people are being denied their well-being and justice, and the offense seizes Jesus. He understands that the people are far from flourishing, they are floundering. We know this because Mark's gospel records, he saw that they were like sheep with no shepherd to watch over them, floundering. Biblical scholar Douglas John Hall writes this: the term compassion is explicitly used of Jesus' attitude towards human beings in at least 8 gospel references, and it is implicit, really, in the entire witness to his life, including his healing ministry that is prominent in this text. Since for Christians, Jesus supremely is revelatory of God and indeed God's unique representative in history, compassion must be said to be of the essence of the one who created us and before whom all life is lived. Practicing compassion allows for the flourishing of God's creation. Easier said than done. I was joking a little bit when I talked about what it's like to dread being known as a pastor, but I'm also very, very serious. And it's not just being a pastor. I believe it can be said for any and all persons who follow in the Spirit of God. The spiritual life is often grueling in its demands. It is also fraught with distractions, and the wisdom of Jesus' invitation to get away to a quiet place is clear. Our friend, Reverend Dr. Claudio Carvias, writes about this passage, Mark 6, and he writes about it like this: but we can fall into the trap of working hard for the cause of justice without attending to our souls and our spiritual and emotional needs. I think this latter group is the one Jesus is concerned with and talking to here, those who do not stop to think, to meditate, to ponder, to wonder, to pay attention, to pray. Side note, that's why we have kitchen tables. To those, Jesus says, come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. In the desert, we must control our minds, not for the sake of controlling it, but rather to be able to free ourselves from the grips of anxiety, fear, and endless movement. In her book, Receiving This Life, the Reverend Kara Root writes compellingly, just beautifully, about rest and our need for it. In her chapter on rest and being free, she examines the activist's chant. Maybe you've heard it. It's often heard at marches on behalf of our neighbors. The chant is something like, there's no rest until there is justice. She hears this chant through modern ears as a call for tireless work, unceasing demands, the call for individual human beings to be the engine that brings about justice, which means that we must never stop and we must never rest. What she longs to hear is no rest until there's justice, with the eschatological imagination that Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King preached when he said, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice." We can all participate in the justice that God is bringing. Dr. Kara Root again, "No rest until there is justice" is not a rallying cry to mobilize the troops for unrelenting battle. It is a proclamation, a statement of fact, an indictment on our collective life in society. We cannot be a people at rest until there is justice, and justice manifests as rest for all. So it's helpful for me, she says, to reverse it in my head. No justice until there is rest. Because resting affirms we are human. Real justice is rest for all. If we really lived like we belong to each other, we would all stop so we could stop. Therefore, our eschatological imaginations compel us to come alongside those in our lives and communities who are facing a crisis, caring for someone chronically ill, or living with more responsibilities, fewer resources, more mouths to feed, less backup support, and ask, how can we practice belonging to each other with you? How can we care for each other so that everyone can rest? In this passage, Jesus seems very aware of the pulling and pushing we go through on the daily. And if you ask me, Omari's piece, "Rest My Soul," is a masterclass of the words, "I rest my soul in the midst of the cacophony that is the world." Could it be that Jesus is trying to teach us all the important rhythm of compassion and rest? Rest and compassion, compassion and rest. Dr. Claudio Carvias again, "The world is in such a precarious situation that we need this constant movement in and out of the desert that solid spiritual practices provide. These practices become important because our presence and work as Christians in the world are fundamental to the lives of those who are the least of these. Along with those in poverty, the earth is also on a path of brutal destruction. The earth, like the poor, is rushing towards us, asking to be healed. Every tree is asking us for support. Every lake is crying while being poisoned by excrements from industries. Every fish is begging to survive. Every bird is singing to remind us of our place in creation. As God's people, we are called to compassion. The challenge is to remain attentive to all the flourish instead of the flounder. We do this by finding ways to rest our souls in the midst of our work for God, while our lives are lived in ways that assure we belong to all of creation, and God longs for each part of creation to rest. This week out at the farm, our farm fellows practiced yoga on mats. And the yoga teacher said to them, "I teach yoga all the time, and I talk about being rooted, your feet into the ground, but we're always in a studio. It's my first time teaching it out of doors, where we really feel the roots under our mats." The kids were right there with her. Because they get, and I hope all of us too, that without a strong spiritual life oriented by daily spiritual practices alongside rest, we cannot do all the work we need to do, and we cannot be all that we are called to be. A heart without action is ineffective, and an action without a heart, that's empty. Jesus is calling us to have a compassionate heart and to do strong acts of justice. So in this way, I believe we join in the miraculous work of Jesus. We become a flourishing people when we do the divine dance between rest and action, spiritual practice and rest. May we do them all at the same time. Amen. While Pastor Matt is away, we've been inviting those among us. Last week was Kara Tupi, this week and next will be Spencer Ross, who are discerning their call from God to be pastors. And it's good to practice, like what I just said. So I welcome you, Spencer, this morning to practice with me. Mm-hmm. In Jesus, the everyday becomes miraculous. Our gathering in love and our sharing and all of what we have and our invitation to be together at God's table is here before us now. This ancient practice which we do each week here in preparation, coming to God's table. But first we pause to acknowledge the ways we resist God's vision for us to flourish, God's longing for the whole world to flourish. The church calls this a prayer of confession, and we invite you to stand in body or spirit to join our voices as one. God of compassion and love, you call us to open our hearts and do strong acts of justice for all. But we do not recognize your vision for our lives. Help us to share compassion as you did. Remind us when it is time to come away with you, and help us say yes to your rhythm of compassion so that we might do both together with you. Friends, in God's love and mercy, we are God's forgiven people. We are given each new day to say yes to God's vision for flourishing. May we feel God's deep love in our bones, and may we place our trust in this very love today and every day. Let's say amen.
Let us join now in the call and response, which has become the way of the church throughout the generations, to recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within each of us and within every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We invite you to turn and share a symbol of peace with those near you.
Your heart,
we lift to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give all thanks and praise.
In the beginning, when all was chaos, when water and earth had yet to take shape, God the sculptor, God the painter, God the creator touched the swirling mass, and God's hand separated the earth from water and the water from the sky. God touched the earth and plants turned green and fruit grew ripe. To celebrate, God threw holy fireworks into the sky, placing the stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and all kinds of swimming beings made waves in the water. God reached the sky and all kinds of things with wings took flight. And God said, "This is good." When everything else was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, "You are the one I've been imagining. You and everything you see around you is my beloved creation, and all of it is good." But it wasn't good for long, because God's people could not be faithful despite God's generosity and goodness. So God reached inside God's own heart and pulled out truth and compassion and justice and put them inside a form the people might recognize, a holy human being named Jesus. And God set Jesus on the earth to remind us of all that God has made us to be if we would abide in God's love, as Jesus abided in God's unfolding grace.
Did all that he could to tell us how much God loves us and to show us how to love each other. But we couldn't accept that and we couldn't agree about it and we became afraid. The principalities and powers lure the people of God to turn against the way made known in the life, ministry, and love of Jesus. And in the end, Jesus was given away by the very ones who thought they loved him best because the challenge was just too much. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table and promised them and promises all of us that he will never leave us alone, but will come back and take us home with him. And like those longest ago friends, we don't always understand the message Jesus brings to us or what his coming and going and coming again means to us, but we can be grateful and sing the mystery that is our faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen.
On the night when Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover meal, the bread and the wine, and he blessed them both and gave thanks to God and said, "I'm sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather to remember me."
Us to pray together the words Jesus taught his disciples. We encourage you to name and address God in the language which is most dear and true to your own heart.
Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Pour out your Spirit, God, on us gathered in many places. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts before us, and make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make all of us through them Christ's body alive in the world. Let's say amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love. And when we say all, we mean everyone. Wherever you are online joining us for worship, we invite you to bring close to you your bread and your cup, whatever you are using. For those of us here in the sanctuary, we will share this meal in the front and in the back of the sanctuary. The bread was baked for us this weekend by David, and so that is on our platters. In the center is a gluten-free option for those for whom they need that. And in our cups is always juice, grape juice. We want you to know every week there are those among us for whom this is the first time here trying something like this, and they are very brave people. There are also those among us every week for whom this is a life practice, and most of us are somewhere in between. But always we remember to watch over one another in love, to help each other around this sanctuary. There are places to pray all around you, either kneeling or standing. You may light candles or simply stay right where you are in your pew. This is an opportunity to, for many of us this whole week, to rest for a moment, right? And to be with God and one another in this divine dance. This is the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for you and for God's world. And this is God's love poured out for you, for the many, for all of creation. Thanks be to God. Let's say amen.
Amen.
Loving God, we give thanks for this holy mystery through which you reveal yourself to all of creation, and in this bread and cup may your peace make all of us one and call us to love one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is our hope, amen. Please feel free to stay right where you are if you are still praying. There is always time for that. In addition to responding to God's love by coming to this table, we also respond to God's love by giving generously in support of our ministries here at the table. Your generosity helps our community of faith to align ever more deeply with God's fierce love, which is always already loose in the world, and we thank you for practicing your faith by sharing generously. Those of us who have pre-ordered Rise Up Bread, it is back. Not only that, but it's Tuesday or Wednesday, Ezekwe will be in the building testing out our bakery that we have there. And I'm pretty excited about all of that. And we will keep you posted as I just imagine samples, you know, because they mess up every once in a while. To see where are the hot spots and the cool spots in our oven. Our Growing in Faith revision has begun. Pastor Matt and I spent 2 days away this week with many others from our region who are learning how to put classes online. And we gave lots of thought and work towards that. And we are excited to have a beginning of that in September to share with all of you all. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise is what I'm saying right now. As we prepare to depart, I invite you to stand in body or spirit as our music team shares one of their own songs, Flow Like a River.
Flowing so easy.
Welcome back from your honeymoon, Mr. and Mrs. Lowe. I forgot to say that part. So may your love flow like a river gracefully downstream so that all of God's creation may be nourished into flourishing. And in this way, go boldly forth into God's unfolding future. Go in peace. Amen.